The Ribbu Gita, the joy of abiding as we are. Let us imagine ourselves sitting in front of Sri Bhagavan, either in Virupaksha cave or Skandashramam, while we chant a soul-stirring text that describes Sri Bhagavan's state of abidance in the one reality. Sitting in rock-like stillness, radiating ineffable peace, his very presence quietens the turbulence of our minds. As we continue reciting, we are absorbed into Ulladu, into that which is our own real being. The sacred text referred to is none other than the Ribbu Gita, whose study Sri Bhagavan recommended to some devotees as a valuable aid in their spiritual growth. Sri Ramaswami Pillai recalls his initial visits to Sri Bhagavan in the early 1920s. Even in his absence, or even when I was away from the ashram, I used to think of his person and of his name, and I would experience the sinking of all thoughts into the cells. During my stay of 10 months at the ashram, we often used to read the Ribbu Gita. There would be usually 6 or 7 of us, including Bhagavan, and we would each read a few verses in turn, going all the way through the book until we had finished it. Bhagavan used to tell us, and on occasions we used to feel and experience, that to read the Ribbu Gita is to be in samadhi. Vishwanathan, Muruganar, Chinnaswami, and anyone else who was present all would squat together in a ring with Bhagavan and take it in turns to read. No other book was read so often. Footnote: The Mountain Path, July 1981, M.P. Ramaswami Pillai, How I Came to Sri Bhagavan. The Ribbu Gita is found in the text of the epic Shiva Rahasya. Originally written in Sanskrit, the Shiva Rahasya contains about 100,000 verses. The exact epoch in which this work was composed or revealed cannot be established with any certainty. It is comprised of 12 amshas, or parts. In the 6th amsha of this epic is found the Ribbu Gita. Footnote: The entirety of the original Sanskrit Ribbu Gita has been translated into English by Sri Lingeshwara Rao, Anil Sharma, and Sri T. Venkateshwara Rao. The original text, along with transliteration and translation, has been published by Sri Ramanashramam. In addition, a beautiful audio recording of the entire work by Sri Lingeshwara Rao is available in MP3 format. It is a dialogue between the sage Ribhu and his disciple Nidhaga that takes place on Mount Kedara in the Himalayas. The topic of discussion is the nature of the Supreme Brahman and how that one reality is our very own nature. Ribhu was taught this sacred knowledge by Shiva himself, and he compassionately imparts this upadesha to Nidhaga. Just as the gem of the Bhagavad Gita is found in the middle of the Mahabharata, Paramacharya Sri Chandrasekharendra Saraswati has declared that the Ribbu Gita occupies the same exalted place and status in the Shiva Rahasya. The Ribbu Gita was translated into Tamil, Ribbu Gita, in the 1880s by Sri Lokanatha Swamigal, also known as Bhikshu Shastri. It was first brought to Sri Bhagavan by Palani Swami while they were residing in the Mango Tree Cave, and it was this Tamil version that was chanted in front of Sri Bhagavan. It differs somewhat from the original Sanskrit version with regards to the numbering of the chapters. 50 chapters are in the original, while only 44 are in the translation, as well as the form of each verse. while the Sanskrit version is presented in couplet form, that is, with two lines in each verse, as is the Bhagavad Gita, the Tamil version contains 8 lines in each verse, vrittam. Both versions, of course, are uncompromising in their message that nothing but Brahman exists and that we are that. And both use the power of repetition to drive that message home. The Ribhu Gita is comprised of 1,924 verses. Sri Bhagavan recalls, I knew nothing of life and had no idea that it was full of sorrow, and I had no desire to avoid rebirth or seek release, to obtain dispassion, viragya, or salvation. I had read no books other than Periyapuranam, my Bible lessons, and bits of Tayumanavar or Tevaram. My notion of God, or Ishvara, as I call the infinite but personal deity, was similar to that found in the Puranas. I had not heard then of Brahman, Samsara, etc. I had no idea then that there was an essence or impersonal real underlying everything, and that myself and Ishvara were both identical with it. At Tiruvannamalai, as I listened to Ribhu Gita and other works, I picked up these facts and discovered that these books were analyzing and naming what I had previously felt intuitively without analysis and name. In the language of the books, I should describe my mental or spiritual condition after the awakening as Shuddha Manas or Vijnana, that is, the intuition of the illumined. Sri Bhagavan further describes the love of the sage Ribhu for Nidhaga and further explains the nature of the Ribhu Gita. Though Ribhu had several disciples, he had some special affection for Nidhaga because of his thorough knowledge of the Shastras, his pure mind, and great devotion to the Guru. Ribhu taught him in great detail and clarity the essentials of Advaita philosophy. Even so, his Shishya's mind was steeped largely in the performance of karma, and so he could not keep steady on the path of jnana taught by the Guru. He was performing all the rituals as laid down in Karmakanda and went to live in his native place. Even though he was living far away, the Guru's concern for Nidhaga was growing from day to day. So Ribhu was going to Nidhaga's place now and then to see how far he was getting dissociated from the Karmakanda performance of karma. Once in a while, he used to go incognito also. On one occasion, Ribhu went in the guise of a villager and found Nidhaga standing and watching the king coming out of the Rajbhavan in a royal procession. Nidhaga did not notice Ribhu coming from behind. The latter wanted to test Nidhaga and so said, "Why is there a big crowd here?" Nidhaga, without looking behind and not knowing who the questioner was, "The Raja is going in a procession." Ribhu, "Oho! The Raja is going in a procession. Who is the Raja?" Nidhaga, "There, you see, the one on the elephant. That is the Raja." Ribhu, "What? What do you say? Did you say that the Raja is on the elephant?" "Yes, I see both of them, but who is the Raja and who is the elephant?" Nidhaga, "What is all this nonsense? You say you can see both. Don't you know the one above is Raja and the one below is the elephant?" Ribhu, "What? What did you say? Please tell me clearly." Nidhaga, "What a nuisance. It is difficult to explain anything to a man like you. How often should I tell you the same thing? Now listen. The one above is the Raja and the one below is the elephant. Have you understood it Now at least? Ribhu. I'm sorry. Please don't get angry with a simpleton like myself. I pray, one more word. You say above and below. My dear sir, please tell me what exactly it means.
Nidaga, with a great anger.
How funny! You can see the one above? That is the Raja. The one below is the elephant. What nonsense do you mean by saying that you do not know what is above and what is below?
Ribhu.
Yes, yes, it is true. I see both. But I do not understand what is meant by above and below.
Nidaga, unable to contain his anger.
What nonsense! If you cannot understand that which is obvious and visible, the only way to make you understand is to give you a practical demonstration. I shall do so now. Bend down. You will then understand everything fully. That rustic laborer bent down as directed. Nidaga sat on him and said, Now look. Do you understand? I am above you like the Raja, and you are below me like the elephant. Is it all right? Do you understand clearly?
Ribhu,
no, I have not yet understood. I am still unable to know the meaning. You say you are above me like the Raja, and that I am under you like the elephant. I am able to understand to the extent that the Raja is above and the elephant is below. You say you and I. That I am not able to understand. Whom are you addressing when you say you and I? Please explain this clearly in some detail. He said all that in a calm and dignified tone. When Nidaga heard this question aimed at him pointedly, he realized the non-existence of separate entities as you and I, and that they merge in the consciousness of the self. So, instinctively, he realized his mistake, jumped down, and fell at the feet of the rustic, who he felt could be none other than his guru, as he had made his mind turn from outer distinctions to the truth that is the self. He folded his hands and expressed his deep gratitude for the great revelation and thanked him for all that he had done for him. Ribhu again explained to him the state of reality and taught him how to abide in the self. That teaching is Ribhu Gita. In that Gita, the self and the self alone is dealt with at great length. So said Bhagavan. Footnote: Letters from Sri Ramanashramam by Suri Nagamma, Letter 182, 25th April, 1948. Sampurnamma, whose close association with Sri Bhagavan is well known, and who spent unforgettable moments working with him in the kitchen under his direct supervision, was asked by Sri Bhagavan to read the Ribhu Gita. She says, one day he gave me a copy of Ribhu Gita and asked me to study it. I was not at all anxious to pore over a difficult text, good only for learned pundits, and asked to be excused, saying that I did not understand a single word of it. It does not matter that you do not understand, he said. Still, it will be of great benefit to you. Sri Bhagavan's long-standing devotee, Professor N.R. Krishnamurti Iyer, head of the Department of Physics in the American College, Madurai, also was encouraged by Sri Bhagavan himself to study the Ribhu Gita and to include it in his sadhana. The professor originally translated 8 verses into English for his own study and to distribute to devotees. In 1982, the mountain path published a collection of 27 verses translated by him. Footnote, verses from the Ribhu Gita, The Mountain Path, April 1982. Professor Krishnamurti Iyer further translated a total of 122 verses into English prose, which were published as the booklet titled The Essence of the Ribhu Gita in 1984. Here are some verses from The Essence of the Ribhu Gita. 5. The universe was neither born, nor maintained, nor dissolved. This is the plain truth. The basic screen of pure being, awareness, stillness, devoid of all the moving shadow pictures of name and form of the universe, is the sole eternal existence. 6. Some may argue that this universe of duality, multiple existences, is a factual second reality clearly seen by the senses, operated by the mind. But then, are the senses anything apart from the mind? Can they function without the support of the mind in which they are embedded? What is this mind except a bundle of thoughts? What are thoughts except evanescent ripples in the still limitless ocean of pure being, awareness, self, which is the sole existence without a second? 7. The existence of the illusion of silver in the mother of pearl is not a reality apart from the reality of the mother of pearl, which is the basic reality. The illusion of the universe is based on the mind, which again is an illusion based on the still awareness, being, self. 10. The state of firm abidance in that thought-free, alert, awareness self constitutes integral perfection, yoga, wisdom, moksha, sahaja samadhi, the state of Shiva, and the state of Atman self, which scriptures proclaim by the title of Brahman. 11. There never was a mind, nor any of its countless forms like the world, jivas, etc. There isn't the least doubt that all these are the form of the eternally undifferentiable Supreme Brahman Self. This is the truth. The one who hears this great secret diligently and understands completely abides as Brahman Self. 31. Abidance in Sahaja Samadhi is the hallmark of Jivan Mukti. With the progressive development of this state, the intensity of blissful peace is attained, leading on to the four successive stages of perfection in Mukti. Nothing short of this technique of self-inquiry will be of any avail in destroying the fearsome cycle of birth and death. 32. The realized person who abides in the Brahman self and has lost all feelings of differentiation of self and non-self is the jnani or the mukta purusha. Such a jnani is rare to find by searching among millions of people. If one has the lucky opportunity of getting his darshan, personal view and contact, one attains purification from all sins, and what is more, such a person's ego gets well set on the road to its liquidation. 40. Abidance in the state of thought-free, alert awareness is the state of mukti beyond thought and expression. The emergence of thought is the bondage of untold suffering. Abidance in the self is the true non-dual samadhi, and that alone could lead one to the eternal bliss of mukti. 41. The great illusions, maya, associated with God, Ishwara, avidya, associated with individual souls, mine and Jiva's, souls, world and its creator, all names and forms, and all mental conceptions are nothing but the self. One should ever abide in this conviction. 42. All worlds and creatures are only thought forms. They are nothing but the mind, which is a bundle of thoughts, which again are nothing more than ripples on the still ocean of awareness self, and certainly nothing apart from that self. Therefore, one should abide in the firm conviction that all objects are only I am self Brahman. The following Tamil text and transliteration is representative of the 8-line stanzas found in the Ribhu Gita and is from chapter 26. The English translation is by Dr. Ramamurthy and Nomi. The English translation also follows the 8-line form.
Yadanidayil Dehamudal Tiriyadhagum Yadanadayil Dirushyame Tigaradagum Yadanidayil Chittamume Marituppogum Yadanidayil Jivanume Kalandadagum Yadanidayil Ninevevayum Nalituppogum Yadanadayil Nichayamum Nasittatagum Aduahamendraditidama Nichayatta Ammayamayana Varadan Sukittarupai.
That in which the body and others cannot be discerned, in which there is no perception of manifestation whatsoever, in which the thought itself is destroyed, in which merges the jiva, in which all the imaginings get dissolved, and in which even certitude disappears, by the deep conviction that I am that, be in the bliss of ever being that itself. We see that the Ribhu Gita is uncompromising in its non-dualistic approach, continually emphasizing the oneness of all in stating that all is the one undifferentiated self, and that our essential nature is indeed that. There is no faltering in its approach, nor is there the least hesitancy to proclaim the unreality of all phenomena when seen apart from the underlying reality. Om Namo Bhagavate Sri Ramanaya.